Hello, Lisa Leong here for This Working Life, helping to make your work life better. So this is Try This Performance Review Edition. It's that time of the year where you spend time compiling the evidence. You meet with your manager to plead your case and cross your fingers that it all goes well. So let's get some advice for you. Emma Power is an independent HR consultant and an education-focused lecturer at the Melbourne Business School. Hi, Emma.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me on.
So we're getting your advice from the perspective of the person being reviewed, okay?
Absolutely.
What kind of information should I have ready going into my performance review?
Yeah, really good place to start, because I think one of the biggest issues that we have with an annual review is that it's really difficult to remember what happened in the last 12 months. So your reviewer can't remember, so they draw on their own personal biases and the recency effect comes into play, and you can't remember what you did either. So you sort of bumble around and your performance review gets coloured by things that stood out as particularly good or particularly poor, but it doesn't really reflect what's been happening over the time. So what we recommend really is simple, so simple, but have a Word document or a spreadsheet, you know, either once a month, once a fortnight, recording events, key achievements, key projects that you've worked on that you want to make sure that you highlight when it comes to that 6-monthly or 12-monthly review. Things like feedback, fantastic. So if you've got some client feedback, put that in your evidence log. If you've got feedback from a manager or colleague, that's great for your evidence.
And then once you've collated that, how would you sort that out rather than obviously having a mountain of really, really good stuff about yourself to sort of give to the reviewer?
Ideally, you've set some great goals, very specific goals at the start of the performance period. So what you'd be doing is looking at each of those KPIs or goals and then pulling out the best pieces of evidence that relate to those goals.
So what's my role in the actual performance review? How much am I steering it?
Look, it very much depends on the organisational context. Ideally, we're looking for a really two-way conversation. So both of you are problem-solving in that conversation. You can lead, and that's where you do have control over the process. And we know that these conversations are really hard for us cognitively. So we go in, we feel threatened, we're a bit of fight or flight mode, but the more you can talk in those meetings and voice your side of it, puts us in that sort of position of shared power in the meeting where you feel like you can have some form of control. So ideally, it's a very two-way conversation, but again, it will depend on how your organization works or your manager's capability. But initiating those positive evidence that you have for your performance is always recommended in these reviews, and it gives you that sense of ownership as well.
There's a really important part here that I want to delve into, and that is how to receive feedback. So how should I prepare for receiving feedback?
Yeah, look, it's really hard, Lisa, because we are cognitively wired to feel threatened. But I think the more that you do it, the better you get at receiving feedback. So it's about kind of that mental preparation that you are going to feel uncomfortable. But seeing it as more of a gift, we talk about feedback being a gift or a grenade. So it's such a cliche, I'll see it as a gift, but I think the more you practice that. And one thing I can recommend is actually having these conversations more regularly through the year. So if you have regular check-ins with your manager, there should be less surprises when you get to that formal review. The stakes are lower because you've been having these regular conversations, getting used to receiving feedback and giving feedback to your manager if that's what needs to happen at that stage. So I think normalizing the feedback process, having them more regularly, helps you get the most out of that review meeting.
That is good in theory. I think what happens in practice is this is your moment. You mentioned the fight or flight response.
Yes.
Our producer, Michelle, so she needs time to process things. So what should she do in the situation where she can't actually meaningfully engage in the feedback real time? Should she set up a separate follow-up meeting every time?
That's what we're wired to be like. So I think you can't actually access like your problem-solving part of your brain when you're in fight or flight mode. So ideally, you separate an evaluation meeting from a development planning meeting. So if you feel like, and you will often come out of these meetings going, I didn't say this, I should have said this, or now you're reflecting. So if I were in Michelle's shoes, I'd be looking to initiate another conversation a week later or a couple of weeks later. And actually, that should be separated anyway to really focus on development planning with really practical, not just what training module am I going to do, like what actually can I do that's going to really help me improve or, you know, achieve my goals. So separate meetings for development and performance review are always recommended.
And Emma, is it actually fair even just to have one performance review meeting? Because even if I look at myself, I'm an extrovert and I might react in the meeting, but I still need time to process things. We all do, as you said, we just process it in different ways. So it's also unfair for me because I'm, you know, blurting out things that I actually shouldn't be saying maybe in the moment. What should we do there? Maybe, I mean, are we allowed to sort of say, look, yes, we'll have our formal performance review meeting, but even before you go in, just saying, I know the way I think I'd love a follow-up meeting.
Yeah, I think you can initiate that beforehand. I do see, so a lot of organisations are going for these lower stakes, more frequent meetings. So I think just the way that they work, we're very cluey to this as well, that it's not the right way of doing things, particularly if you're in a fast-paced organisation. Waiting 12 months to find out how you're doing, you know, it just doesn't make any sense because your role's changed three times in that performance period probably. So I think, yeah, signalling that if it is a once a year kind of process with your organisation, signalling that you already would like to put something in the diary for 2 weeks later with your manager, that's always recommended. And managers want to help you as well. So really, if the idea, managers would like to improve your performance because it helps them, it helps the team. So anything that's going to help you to do that, then I would be supporting as a manager. The other thing as well is coming with some ideas to that next meeting about what you think will really help you to close your specific gaps or build on your strengths. So having some ideas around, would you like a coach or a mentor, or would you like to shadow someone in a different position? Having those ideas might just help your manager to steer in the right direction with your development plan.
Let's say you're going to your performance review meeting and you do get a grenade. What are some tips for handling that feedback in that moment?
Yeah, I think in that moment that's often, you know, I was a big crier early on in my career, you know, so that would have definitely been the trigger. So I think, you have to just be honest with how you feel in terms of if something's surprised you or made you feel shocked, there's nothing wrong with saying, wow, that's come as a big surprise to me. I wasn't aware that that was the case. Do you mind if I just take a few moments to process that? We're all humans. Ultimately, your manager is not, hopefully, not some big scary person that you have developed a trusting relationship with that person. Ideally, you've had that feedback in the past, but if you haven't, then your manager is going to understand that that's going to be a surprise to you and give you time to process. You can also ask to postpone that meeting if you need to. So having a pause, having a break, I think just be open with how you're feeling and how that's sitting with you. And then your manager will also understand why you might be reacting in a certain way as well.
Oh, I like the idea of coming up with a stock phrase that you can rely on and maybe practice so that when you do have the either brain fade or about to blurt something, you can just say, oh, that's come as a shock. I hope you don't mind. I'll need to process this and be great if we could do a follow-up meeting. Some sort of stock phrase.
Absolutely. And then, as you said, the more you practice that kind of phrase beforehand, the better you'll feel when you go into the meeting because you've got some, you know, some weapons and tools in your arsenal to actually use in that meeting. So I think that's absolutely fair. People script it out as well, Lisa. So we encourage managers to script, especially if they're trying to give constructive feedback, so that they make sure they do it in the right way where it's more growth oriented, future focused. But similarly with employees, if you need to script something, you know, have those phrases in the back pocket.
Can you ask for your script to talk to the other person's script and they just, the scripts just work it out
themselves?
Yeah,
can you just work that out? Yeah, exactly. I know. I'm sure we won't even need to have these conversations in a few years, Lisa. We'll just get chatbots to
to work
on
it
our
out.
Behalf. Yeah, exactly.
Would you advise that we ask any follow-up questions or respond to any negative feedback in the moment, or do we just receive it?
Oh, no, you don't just have to receive it, absolutely. So I'd encourage to explore. So really understand whose perspective is that coming from. Give me some examples. Because sometimes, I mean, you've got one person's view, don't you? You've got two people in the meeting. It's one person against the other. What we're trying to do is actually get data. So show me kind of the results that you've been indicating that that's the case. Who actually has been saying this? Do you have some 360-degree feedback, for example? Do we have some client satisfaction scores? Do we have some clear results that you can peg to that? Because we don't want a he said, she said situation. So that's where we encourage managers to make sure that they're not just giving feedback because that's what they like to see in an employee. It's really, well, what is the goal achieved? achievement? What's the results say? What are the behaviors that you particularly see an issue with this feedback? So we're trying to get into the task, not into the personal and their personal opinions.
Emma, I love that, because I think when you're receiving the feedback and in shock, you forget to ask questions and be curious so that you can understand and it could be more helpful. And so that's a good thing to remind ourselves about when we're going in, is not to come out with your own statement without data as well, yeah. Is that you might react by just arguing back. So I love that, of going deeper. And I think understanding that you have to be quite resilient in order to go deeper into what could be negative feedback. Very useful there. Anything else on the how to go deeper on something that could be quite painful?
If you can explore exactly what it is that you need to change or that didn't work in that scenario, I think the more we can understand that, the more we can focus on improving that particular task or area. And it is sometimes the most fundamental change in your behaviours when you do get feedback like this, even if it's uncomfortable at the time. Understanding exactly what's underlying that helps us improve more than any other kind of training program we can go on. So trying to understand it, but similarly with what we do well, understanding why did that project go well and what was it about that helped us to make that so successful and other projects perhaps not so successful, helps us know what to repeat. So getting further into the detail, exploring that feedback and trying to sort of remove yourself. So it's almost like a problem solving exercise that doesn't involve me personally, trying to as far as possible remove yourself as a kind of a, how do I improve this task rather than there's something wrong with me. So really thinking task rather than self helps you accept that feedback and explore it a little bit better.
And there's one mindset thing that I do, Emma, when I have these conversations, which is in my head, I see myself as beside the manager, not opposing them. Mm-hmm. And we're both looking at the goal that we want and mm-hmm. we're actually having a conversation side by side, looking at the goal together, and we're there to help each other, I guess, through this.
Yes. Yeah, it's a great perspective, Lisa. We often talk about that in a coaching mindset. So if you think about direct feedback, it is like throwing something over the fence. But from a coaching side of things, you're coming over to the same side of the fence. You're working it out together. You're solving the problem. So I think that's a great way of looking at it from the same side, because ultimately we are all driving towards the same outcomes. So working together is the best way to do that. And similarly with your career development, you know, you're in the driver's seat with that too. So work with the manager, hopefully, and you can work out the best pathway for yourself.
So it's all good vibes with this performance review, and of course we want to do better, but let's get down to the brass tacks. We want a good rating, because maybe we get a bonus and maybe we get a promotion. So let's talk about how to get a good rating.
Yeah.
Is this something that I should be focused on at all in my meeting with the manager?
I think definitely, but let's not wait till the review. Because that's the biggest piece of advice, is let's start off with the first. So there should ideally be a goal setting meeting where you're really articulating what does good performance look like in this role in the next 6 to 12 months. And so through that, you want to come out understanding, well, what does a kind of meets expectations look like in my specific role versus an exceeds expectations? And you want to know that really early so you can start to plan towards that, because it's really hard in retrospect to change anything. So I think the goal setting meeting is the fundamental to understand it. And actually speak to your manager about that and say, look, I really want that exceeds expectations this year. Please tell me what that looks like for you and what I can do to get there. Try and be as specific as possible with the where you set your goals, because it might be just elevating those slightly to make sure you hit the right level of performance by the end of the year.
And in that conversation, is there anything else I should be aware of when trying to move to exceeds expectation next time?
I think, so just say you were in the conversation and you were at the meets level. I think, again, it's getting the manager to give you examples of what was missing. So you need to really clearly, so goal setting theory would say that you really need to clearly see the gap. So you need to understand, what does it look like between this level where I am today and the level that I need to be tomorrow? So you can actually set new goals that are going to allow you to close that gap. So I would really be putting it back on the manager, especially if you don't feel perhaps that it's a fair rating, is go, well, tell me what would have got me there last time. And so then I know how to get there next time. And I know that's so easy to say, but honestly, trying to really articulate the differences in those levels is going to help you to improve and get up to that level. And at least make your manager think about it too, because they're going to be helping you over the 12 months to get there if that's where you want to go.
Is it sometimes like a murder mystery novel where the reveal is only at the end of the actual conversation where they go, yeah. Oh, actually, you know, you've actually underperformed this year, or maybe you've just met expectations and you're shocked because you thought that you'd exceeded it. So how do you avoid the murder mystery novel?
Yeah, I think, again, it's having earlier conversations. So there should be a six-month checkpoint. So I would, at the six-month, often there's maybe an informal six-month checkpoint, but you could actually ask your manager in that meeting to say, look, if you had to give me a rating today, even if there isn't a requirement for a rating in that six-month point, what would it be? And then sort of maybe just get them to talk you through their thinking at that point in time. So then, again, you've got that next 6 months to try and act on that feedback back and then show that you've got the evidence for the next rating when you get there. In terms of avoiding the murder mystery, I think, look, that is dependent sometimes on the process itself. Some organisations only accept a certain number of people in that top rating bracket, so that feels a bit unfair sometimes if you feel like you've done everything but only is a sort of a normal curve that has put you in more that meets expectations area. But I suppose it depends on the system as well, Lisa. Ideally, the more often you're talking about performance, try and get clear on what you need to do. Hopefully it's not as much of a mystery when you're given that rating, because you're very well aware of how you're tracking.
Do you have any final advice then, Emma, for us?
We have to work with what we've got. So if you have a manager that perhaps isn't as highly skilled in this area of, you know, giving you performance feedback or development support, or if your organization has a performance management system where they really do only talk about it once a year, what you can do as an employee is work within that system by trying to drive as much as possible yourself. So initiate these meetings, advocate for yourself, collect the evidence yourself, you know, so you've got a great record. And in that process, you're putting yourself in the best position within the system that you're operating in. Because I know it can be frustrating, but if you take ownership over the record keeping, the regular conversations, getting feedback from different sources, then you put yourself in the best position to maximize your results in that final performance review meeting and develop yourself along the way as well.
Emma, incredibly helpful. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lisa. I really appreciate the conversation today.
Emma Power is an independent HR consultant and an education-focused lecturer at the Melbourne Business School. Thanks for listening to this bonus episode of This Working Life with me, Lisa Leong. Please let us know how you went with your performance review. Email thisworkinglife@abc.net.au. This episode was produced by Michelle Weeks and engineered by Matthew Sigley on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Naarm, Melbourne. And you can catch up on our companion episode, Reviewing Performance Reviews, anytime on the ABC Listen app. Until next time, work it like a charm.